Welcome to Measuring Success Right, the official podcast of the Marriott Student Review, a podcast for students by students, where we connect the leaders of tomorrow with the issues of today.
I strongly believe that I had to change my mindset from what is what you're going to give me to what I'm going to give you, what I'm going to give to other students, in order for them to understand what is outside Utah, what is outside Utah County and BYU.
Welcome to another episode of Measuring Success Right. My name is Spencer McWilliams, and I'll be your host for today's episode. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Diego Calderon. Diego Calderon is a BYU journalism student from Peru. He is minoring in global business and Spanish, and is currently working as a research assistant for the communications school, looking up free press issues around the world. He is the current team lead for our podcast here at Measuring Success Right called Las Caras del Éxito, which is the Spanish podcast version of the Measuring Success Right podcast. A fun fact about Diego is that in his free time, he likes to music hunt for music that is not commonly heard in other cultures. Diego, welcome. We are so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, Diego, tell us a little bit about your role here at MSR and how you came here.
So what I do as a team lead is to bring up different people to be interviewed in the podcast. We're looking forward to listening to stories that can identify the success, but at the same time can identify and highlight the Hispanic identity of different people in our community as a BYU community, Utah community, and also a global community. And how I came into this, I was actually before working in another project that was actually interpreting and translating the stories of the Daily Universe, the news story for BYU. And I was working with a club, Local Codes, and the club got another project from MSR, and it was basically just MSR, but we have to basically do the interpreting, the translation for them. I was more focused in that project from the Daily Universe, but I didn't touch too much bases on it. And then one random day, I was in the Cougar 8, I was talking with Andrea, a friend of us, and she's a supervisor, and I told her, well, this project, actually, the Spanish podcast is something that BYU has never seen before. I think it's the first podcast in a foreign language that is actually based on a foreign language. It's not even translated. And I told Andrea, well, these are the things you have to have in mind. These are some things that I can offer to you. And these are some things that I can think that it will be good to have on a team. And she said, like, you have already figured out. And I was like, well, kind of. I mean, and we talked last year, kind of like at the Christmas break. And at this point, we have interviewed like around 12 people at this point. And we're going to release our first episode in the first week of April. And from that on, it will be a non-stopping project. We'll release an episode weekly, and we'll highlight students, BYU alumni, people from the area, even people from different parts of the world.
That is awesome. So, Diego, with Las Caras del Éxito, where do you see it in the next few years as it's just starting up now and as future students who want to be a part of it, join it and continue it? Where do you see it going?
First of all, it's an invitation to all students that speak Spanish, whether they have been born with the gift of Spanish or they have learned in the missions or they just have learned on a trip or they just don't know any Spanish but would like to contribute on the marketing side or any other side, it will be good to have you on the team because there are some roles such as marketing, editing, content editor, and you also have like a host, you also have the permissions people, you know, you have to proofread, then you have the editing part, like the sound editing. So there are a lot of positions that need to be fulfilled. Right now we're 4 people in our team. And the more the merrier. Now, where do I see this podcast? Here's the thing with the Spanish language and podcasts. There are not too many that are kind of relevant to certain types of audiences. Like, for example, I can find more funny podcasts than news podcasts. And people usually do it with a mindset of, I'm going to get famous. They don't do it with a mindset of, I want to help people. But in Las Caras del Éxito, we try to give that aid, give that connection to people, highlight how my immigration in different aspects has actually contributed to the United States, or some issues such as the feminist role in the Latin American culture and several other aspects, issues, and how different students and other members of our community have dealt with those and have achieved success. So this is where I see being even successful more than I can picture it, because at this point we have interviewed people that are really high up. Even I fulfill my dreams to interview the podcast producer of the podcast El Hilo and Radio Ambulante, which is, we could say, the most famous podcast in Spanish. And we had the opportunity to interview her for a podcast. So, I mean, if we were able to do that in our first semester, I cannot picture the success we're going to have probably in 5-10 years. I guess, like, probably we'll have tons of students that will be applying, or like people quoting us all over the world, or even like, well, who knows?
Yeah, we're excited to see where it goes. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Just to switch gears a little bit, some of our listeners, or maybe a lot of our listeners, might not know a lot about Peru and about the traditions and the culture that it has. Do you mind telling us a little bit about your home and Peru and everything that is Peruvian?
Of course, I love to. Actually, it's part of myself. It's my identity, so why not to share it? And if you don't know anything about Peru, people that are listening to us, I won't blame you, because coming here to the States, it was interesting for me, because everything I know about the United States, especially from Utah, aside from Mormonism, it was just what I see on the movies. And not everything is true, you know? And everything you see in media is not everything that Peru is portrayed. Of course, we have an amazing wonder for tourists, Machu Picchu, and that's an amazing piece that our ancestors, the Incas, have left us. But at the same time, we are food, we are dances, we are traditions. For instance, here's the thing: you can tell a Texan that their barbecue ribs are awful, they're gonna hate you.
Very true.
Of course, and if you're telling the Peruvian people that there's a tiny bit of salt that misses in the lomo saltado, in the ceviche, it's going to offend us really bad.
Oh.
No, for real. Like, you can tell us our politics are awful. You can tell us our soccer team is not even the best. Yeah. But when you messed up with our food, we're very, very traditional in that aspect. Mm-hmm. We are very focused on families. So it is very common for Sundays and Saturdays to spend it with our families. And it is very also common to have these gatherings, aside from, of course, family home evenings, other gatherings with our family. So we'll have these barbecues or these gatherings where we share food and we'll talk about life. And aside from that, something that is very, very Peruvian is the way we treat each other. Yeah. Is the way we treat each other, because in the northern part, so I was born in Lima, but I was raised in Piura, in the northern side, the border between Peru and Ecuador. And something that I was surprised, even coming from the capital city to the northern part, is that, let's say I meet your parents, and because we're friends, I will tell your parents uncle and aunt.
Yeah.
Right away. So I will say, like, uncle, aunt, how's it going, and everything. So I will treat them like you, an informal you and you, mm-hmm. which in Lima is actually a formal you and a formal in a formal you,
yeah.
to it's a mutual relationship like that. But in the northern part, it's a very caring culture, and when we say how are you, we really mean it. When we want to listen all your life story, we really mean, like, for example, here in the States, I believe it's like, hey, how are you? Good? Good. Bye. That's everything. We should hang out another time. Of course.
Great. See you later.
Here's like, hey, how are you? Good. How are you? Oh my gosh, I've been good. I mean, I've dated this girl, or I've been just in this game, or I've ate this just in the lunch. And like, we go all through the branches. We love to talk. We love gossiping too. That's another important thing in the Hispanic culture. So we can go and on. And Christmas is very different. Here you celebrate it on mm-hmm. on the morning of the 25th. Yeah. We celebrate it wildly, very wildly. And lots of parties on the night of the 24th. We don't wait for the presents to be opened in the morning. We open them in the night.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So for example, as soon as it's midnight, we're opening gifts. We are really like dancing and everything. So when I came here to my first Christmas in the States, like it was 8 p.m., 9 p.m. and all the kids were like, I need to go to bed because I need to wake up early tomorrow. And I'm like, are you going to school tomorrow? But yeah, that's a lot of differences. And the last experience I would like to share with you is something that we do in the religious aspect over there. So we have something called stakes, and we have upon those stakes a group of words, all right? And each word from a same stake will gather on a building, on a church building, and we'll do a party for New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. So a word, let's say word A is in charge of cleaning the church. Word B is in charge of bringing aside, a word C is in charge of bringing a dessert. So each word is in charge of something, and close to midnight, people will come, enjoy the food, enjoy the dancing, we'll party all the way until 2 a.m., 3 a.m., go to our homes, take a brief nap or talk with our relatives, and then get back again with the group of members of the church and rent a big bus, go to the beach, camp there from probably like 6 a.m., 7 a.m., all the way until 5 p.m., and we'll spend over there our first day of the year in Piura. So it's something very like, very caring. Mm-hmm. So when I go to church for the first time, people will actually invite me to their home to eat, or they will say like, hey, how are you? Where are you from? What do you do for a living? Do you like soccer? Do you like this or that? So it's a very caring culture.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It sounds very wonderful. And I've only had Peruvian food once in the United States, so I don't count it as actually having Peruvian food. But aside from the food that just tasted amazing, the community and the culture sounds very inviting and very warm and very beautiful. So that Thank is you. Awesome. So at BYU, we have a lot of international students, and it's a great opportunity to get to know these international students and get to know their cultures and everything, but especially to get to know their stories of how they came to BYU. So Diego, we'd love to hear your story of how you came to BYU.
Thank you. And I mean, if you ask me, my story will be not be amazing for some people. Mm-hmm. For some people, it will be amazing. But if you ask probably another person who has arrived from India, who has arrived from Europe, their story will be amazing for some people, and for other people, it won't. Mm-hmm. But my story goes several years ago, even before I was born, because my grandfather, he was actually in Peru back then, and he had a marriage with another woman. And aside from that, my grandpa had a partner, and that partner was my grandma. Out of that relationship, my father came to pass. And that's where our family goes from. And one day, he saw the missionaries, he was baptized, but he thought, how can I believe in the church? How can I live the gospel if I haven't recognized my own son from the other relationship? Just kind of like a context of all the situation, my grandfather, he was a businessman, an accountant for one of these international companies that come to Peru for mining. So he will be kind of like the interpreter for the mining workers that speak Quechua and the business people that speak English. So my father will come to live with him. He was studying in a really well-known school in Peru. The sad part is that when my father was in his last year of school, my grandpa passed away. And my grandpa always had this dream that my father will always wanted to send him to BYU, just because he will see all these missionaries that have come to Peru, and they always said like, I study at BYU. And my grandpa was like, wow, I want my son to have this opportunity to come to this beautiful university. And well, he passed away, and my grandma was living with a small income as a laundry woman. So my father had to return to live with her. He had to support her. He had to support other family members. And he had to seek for his mission. He had to look for another university. But my father made a promise to my grandfather. He said, I'm going to be able to fulfill your dream that I will have to come to BYU. But your grandson and your granddaughter, they will fulfill your dream. So That's why Valeria, my sister, and I, we came here to BYU to fulfill the dream of my grandfather, the dream of my father, and our own dream to study here.
Well, first of all, I think that's a beautiful story. And you being able to fulfill your grandfather's dream, like, how does that make you feel after having been here for a little bit? How does that make you feel knowing that you fulfilled your grandfather's dream and thinking about how he must feel now about you and your sister?
That we are taking, it's a long story. There are a lot of mixed feelings, of course, mm-hmm. but it's amazing. I have no words to describe it. It's just that he also has some pressure because mm-hmm. I'm representing my grandfather, I'm representing my father, I'm representing the Peruvian culture, I'm representing church members all mm-hmm. from my region. But at the same time, it's something very pleasurable because when I feel demotivated in school, like for example, yeah. I'm a journalist. I don't like science. My girlfriend loves science. But when I see science, when I see numbers, I feel discouraged. But then when I go through my Facebook, through my Instagram, and I look up the pictures that I, of my childhood, of my teenage years, the photos of my grandfathers, and the people that have actually lived with me in Peru, it feels like I owe them. So that's why I'm here. That's why I see the strive. Let me be honest with you. I don't have the best GPA. But I do my best.
That's great. So coming from Peru, so another country, coming here to BYU, to America, to Utah, out of all places in America, what was the cultural change like for you?
It is very interesting because everything I knew before, it was missionaries who come to visit home, the world, and also what I saw in movies. So basically, just this rich white girl that is the most popular, and suddenly there is the underdog girl who tries to steal the girl from him, and then there is a sitcom, you know, and to be honest, that was my picture of BYU, how it would be like. Mm-hmm. For some people, it is like that. For some people, it is not. For me, it's not like that. When I came, actually, before that, I was living in Colombia, and my previous vacations, like a week before arriving here, I was in an island in Colombia called San Bernardo. But you can picture like an amazing view of the ocean, me sleeping in a hammock next to my dog with my lemonade.
Oh,
and then,
so nice.
I know, right? And then as soon as I arrived here, I arrived in winter semester. And then as soon as I arrived to Salt Lake, bunch of snow, and my roommates, they are really caring, but they're not too sociable. And here, the difference, at least in the word I had at the beginning, it was hard for me to make some friends. So I had to reach them instead of like them reaching to me. For me, it was the opposite. I came from a culture that was the opposite. But then after that, my luggage was lost. It went to another state. Oh. But then my Google account did not open. So in the first days, I did not have a phone or a laptop. So I was incommunicated. So if some people would like to reach out to me, they would have to come and visit me. But then I realized that there is an academic center at BYU where you can make an appointment with an advisor to get to know the questions, to get to know some of the courses you have to take in your first year. I did not know about that. So I scheduled a really hardcore 12 credits or 12 credits and a little bit more, I guess. And I was putting like classes, business classes, and then political science classes. And on top of that, I was putting like those hardcore religion classes that we have at BYU. Mm-hmm. And I was like already dying.
Oh yeah, that sounds
and
like
on top
hard.
Of that, I mean, what it probably will take a regular student at BYU 1 hour to learn the whole content, it will take me probably 1.5 hours because I have to develop it in my native language,
yes.
and also in the other language. So when a professor asks me, I have to respond in English, not in Spanish.
Yeah.
But an advantage is that I bring another perspective of this concept and that I can explain in two different languages.
Yeah.
But I mean, after that, I love the American culture a lot. I have made a list of things that I'm grateful and things that I think is very awkward, but it's still very lovely. It's like there is a specific date in Chick-fil-A where everyone dresses as a cow.
Yeah.
In order to get a free sandwich. And I used to work at Chick-fil-A on campus, and seeing how little kids will dress up in order to get a sandwich, we don't do these things unless it's Halloween. So those are some things that I had to adjust, but at the end, it has been a really good learning experience.
Yeah, that is so funny you bring up those things that are seen as awkward to maybe someone who's not from here, but you know, the same thing might be said for in like your culture, things that we aren't used to. But it's cool to see those and to be like, oh, it makes you appreciate more the just how different we all are, but also how we can all come together and still like the same things. So that's really funny. Being here for a little bit, how have you been able to keep your culture alive while here in America?
That is a really good question, especially with the pandemic. It has been hard because I cannot go outside, dance with my friends, or go to a lot of restaurants, or just to go to some Peruvian gatherings in our Independence Day. It's something that I haven't showed that much due to the pandemic, but I don't have the necessity to show it to all the people to carry this Peruvian shirt all the time and telling everyone on campus that I'm Peruvian. Yeah. It's not what you show as a patriotic, is what you have inside that shows how patriotic you are. I have met friends that they, just because they like, it's good to be whitewashed in a certain way, but when you rely more on the on another culture than yours, that's when it becomes like something more toxic in my perspective. Because, for example, when you forget how to speak Spanish and you have born and raised in Peru, or like you don't know, you cannot picture how politics is affecting our country and international students from Peru here. Mm-hmm. And I met several types of Peruvian here on BYU campus. Some of them are amazing. Some of them I'm like, please just don't forget your roots. Don't forget your culture. I know it's hard since we're far away. It's kind of hard, of course. But I guess my secret to keep my culture, at least in my heart, is to talk with my family, talk with my friends, share some memes, eat a lot of Peruvian food, or of course, keep practicing the Peruvian cuisine. I love dancing and singing in the shower, so that helps a lot. And I guess it's more like a basis case. Like for one Peruvian, it will be one thing. For another Peruvian, it will be another thing.
That is awesome. I really love that advice. And I think I agree as well. I do think it is important to remember your roots, and especially coming from a different country, to keep that here. That way you don't lose it. I'd love to hear more about your journey towards journalism and what made you choose that path when you came here to BYU.
Of course, there are a couple things. The first one, it was when I was here for the first, well, my second time, I was actually studying at the English Language Center. And I was living with a Peruvian family, and they said, like, we're just going to give you a tour of BYU. And I have another Peruvian friend that he's really in love with the BYU football team. And to be honest, we don't play American football in Peru, or at least in Latin America. We play the real football, like soccer. Yeah. So when I came to the field where everyone was being introduced, I was just like gathering some signatures. I don't know. I was trying to get acquaintances. I was trying to get to know what is American football. And then I got into a conversation with Riley Nelson. He was the quarterback. And I always carry with me a bracelet. And actually I have one right now that is very Peruvian. And I was like, and I used to make this. Now I kind of lost since I don't have too much time to make them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, if he's kind of like the team captain, why not just give him that? He deserves it. And I gave it to him. And we took a picture and everything. And one of those days after, like my friend who took me there, he said, Diego, you're in the newspaper. I'm like, no kidding. I mean, like, I'm not even like a BYU student, but I'm already on it. And I it's not based on the ego that you're on the newspaper. It's more based that, whoa, I didn't know I made a change. And that actually highlighted the international culture in a sense, or at least the Peruvian culture in a sense. But that's one experience that I keep in my heart. And another experience that I really keep in my heart, it was that I came here with a perspective to be a marketing student with a business mindset. And then I realized this is not me. Then I went through other majors and I'm like, no, this is not me, until I arrived to the journalism class. And it was actually Professor Campbell who told us at the end of the class, we are not going to earn as much money as a businessman or as a doctor. Mm-hmm. But it's a calling from God that we have to give that truth to the people. And I was like, well, I think this is my thing. I won't be able to have these luxurious cars or these fancy trips to other parts of the world every time whenever I want, but I do can make a change. So from that on, I applied to the journalism program, and I applied with a couple of stories, international stories that happened in Latin America, and how the honor code applied to these stories, and how actually the honor code could prevent these stories from happening. So they accepted me, and here am I, just semester away from graduation.
Wow, yep. You were almost there. That is so exciting.
Yep, it is.
So looking back on your experiences as being a journalist throughout these last few years of being here at BYU, what has been your favorite experience in doing journalism, and how have you seen your storytelling make an impact?
Something that is sad to say is that even though BYU's motto is the world is our campus, mm-hmm. sometimes I have felt it has not been that way. Sometimes the mindset is very nationwide, which is not bad. There are a lot of people that need our help inside of the US, mm-hmm. but there's even more people outside of the United States that need our help. So one way of doing it is just to seek our skills and put them in a worldwide perspective. Because eventually, all of us, we're going to have international exposure. Some of us will be those leaders that the church will need to support the church in different places. So that's what it. For me, it is a calling to seek wider perspectives and try to look different perspectives. There was one story specifically I can remember. I didn't write it, but I did help a journalist on like getting several international students' perspective and how has the pandemic affected them. And along with that story, I also did another one that was, this one was actually more into how the pandemic has affected, but more in a legal way. In like, how has your lifestyle have changed? How has your visa status have changed? And how are you in a threat to being deported? So I thought that as a journalist, I will have issues reporting on people. But as soon as I talked to one friend, he's like, oh, you should talk to this friend. And you should talk to this friend. And like, I was getting a lot of people from different parts of the world who are actually international students. And there was a sad experience on that because there was a Chinese student. She was part of a club. And she said, Diego, you are the first journalist from all the journals that are in Utah that have asked us how we are doing as an international student from Asia. None other journalists have asked us before. And none other journalists have done it with the way you're doing it. Because you know, as an international student, how the pandemic is affecting us, because it is affecting you as well. And that put me in a perspective. There are a lot of things that are happening on our campus, but some of them are voiceless. So when that specific student told me, Diego, you are the identity of the international student, it's not that I'm the icon of the student association. It's not that I have a tons of followers on Instagram or Facebook, but it is... I feel it is my calling to tell the people how, as we international students, we are portrayed sometimes. We suffer stereotypes, but at the same time, how we are struggling and how we can contribute to BYU. But sometimes we are like the other side that not many people know about. Yeah. And I won't blame them. We're like less than 2% of BYU campus. Yeah. But at the same time, if you think that the world is our campus, we are part of the world, and we're that connection between BYU and the world.
I think that's a great call out to not only BYU, but even us as students, and trying to be more aware of these voices that aren't being heard and that are being marginalized. So I think that's a really great call out to bring up. So thank you for that.
Of course.
So Diego, what are your plans with after graduation? Since you're graduating soon, where do you see your career going next?
So to give you that answer, I would like to give you a context. On July 6th last year, ICE actually proposed a bill in which said that all international students will actually be deported since they're not doing in-class, in-person school in the universities because of the pandemic. But we thought, with the administration that is back then, that it was back then, what can assure us that after the pandemic, we can come back to keep studying? Or still, even from Peru, even from other parts of the world, it is kind of hard to have that approach. I mean, for me as a journalist, if they ask me, like, you have to get a piece of story from this article, this bill that has happened in the legislature up in Salt Lake. But I'm in Peru. How can I do that? Or like, since the Daily Universe is more local-minded or state-minded, it will be hard for me to connect a story from Peru to the Daily Universe itself. So it will be really hard. And I was thinking a lot of things back then, and that was, of course, unfair. Luckily, there were some universities who brought this issue to the Supreme Court. Luckily, we won. And I was very furious. I was very frustrated because there was nothing I could do. Yeah. I'm not going to go to the Supreme Court and explain the case. I was not able to like move my papers or do some type of arrangement, yeah. Since there are a lot of students that have the same issue and they're already pushing other sources. I was feeling very lonely, but luckily I felt the support of a community that actually cared about us as international students, not only on BYU, but also in different parts of the United States. When that happened, I remember that night, I was pondering, ah, as an international student, who do I receive help from? And then I was like, oh, well, immigration attorneys, I guess. But as a journalist that seeks the truth and to tell the truth, if I feel threatened by another source, who is going to protect me? And then I was like, according to the law, the attorneys. And since that moment and on, that experience shaped my life to become, or to seek a goal to become a human rights attorney. But that is not focused here in the States, but it's more focused abroad. Because there are people abroad that would like to tell the truth in different other ways, but they're not economically supported, and they're constantly threatened by mafias or corrupt governments. And that's where the paper, my role, comes to help these people.
That is an incredible experience, and I think that'll be such an important thing to cover and to help with, because I know a lot of people are struggling with that. So that is awesome, Diego, and we wish you the best of luck with your path of being a human rights attorney and all that comes with it. So Diego, the last question that we always like to ask our guests, because our podcast is called Measuring Success Right, is we want to know how you measure success personally in your life.
That is a really good question. And I believe the concept of success is relative. I believe if you ask another person right here in one of the BYU halls, it will have a different definition than I will have. But personally, I have 2.5 definitions. The first one, it has to be a lot with one experience, well, 2 experiences that I have with one mission companion and one roommate from Alabama. And I was getting late to a class. It was pre-pandemic, so I was rushing from my apartment to one of my classes. And I have previously ate lunch, so I left my dishes in the sink. And previously I was come back and just washed them. Mm-hmm. But picture this. You see me, I'm a little bit skinny, I'm 5'6". Not so intimidating, but my roommate, actually, he was from the rugby team. He was an Afro-American student. I think he was over 200 pounds. And he was doing weightlifting and wrestling. So I didn't even want to mess up with him at all. So he said, as soon as I was crossing the door, Diego, your dishes. And I'm like, I'm going to do it later. No, you have to do it right now. It's not going to take you more than 30 seconds. Sure, I'll do it. And another valuable experience from that, because sometimes we leave things that will take us like 1, 2, 3 minutes max. And eventually it takes weeks and months and we forget it. And then we procrastinate something that it could have been done in a week or even in 2 to 3 minutes. And what happens is in the mission field, we were in a war meeting and everyone was eating lunch. And then as any other missionary who offers service opportunities, we were washing the dishes, like approximately 30 dishes. So considerably a big amount. I was in the washing part. My companion was in the drying part. And when I was on my 10th dish, he's like, Elder, this is dirty. And I'm like, but it's white and shiny. And he's like, no, it has some grease on it. And check this. And he was very, very into little details. And then he put the 10 dishes I made back again into the sink. And he's like, do it again. I'm like, okay. And I learned another valuable experience washing dishes, which it was the way we do it. It's not only how we do it, it's the way we actually, the details we put into it, the emotion, that energy we put into it. And it's an energy that you can put in 3 minutes, but it can make the whole change probably in your life. And the other thing that I may say, the other experience that how I measure success is by how much I contribute to society. In my second semester, I was struggling really hard. I was feeling very lonely. I was struggling in classes. I was struggling basically in every aspect of my life personally. And I was seeking a lot to go back to Latin America. I was thinking, well, there are some good universities in Colombia where my parents were at that moment. There are some really good universities in Peru. And I mean, if I study in a university in Latin America or in the States, I may still be successful. But I remember I was looking out for tickets to go home. And I was about to be sincere with my parents. Look, being here, it's just very expensive. If I go to Latin America, I will need to seek transportation or housing or food. It will be even cheaper. And I don't want to you to splurge the money in something that is not going to be worth it. I'm going to actually suffer while doing it. And my mom gave me a very wise advice. She said, picture that BYU is like a buffet. And picture that everyone that seeks BYU students to work in their companies are like clients, customers that come here to get food from that amazing buffet. What will they find? Pizzas, hamburgers, Americanized tacos, a lot of things that are basically very common in the restaurants over here. But she said, how about if they find a lomo saltado, ceviche, papalo huancaína, Inca Cola? And I was realized, yeah, I bring a different seasoning. I bring a different type of contribution to BYU. Even though many students do not believe that international students, we contribute to BYU, or even BYU staff don't feel like we contribute, or even other sources, they don't feel like we are or we contribute in this country somehow, even though, I mean, Obama's parents were international students and also Kamala Harris' parents were international students. I strongly believe that I had to change my mindset from what is BYU going to give me to what I'm going to give BYU, what I'm going to give to other students in order for them to understand what is outside Utah, what is outside Utah County and BYU. The university has given me a lot. The church has given me a lot. And this is a form of repay. MSR has not paid me a penny. The Daily Universe hasn't paid me a penny. Indeed, I have to pay the university to work on those projects, technically. And it is a pleasure to do it. Yeah, I'll do it with all my passion. And I put my soul into this. And as a group of MSR Spanish, Caras del Éxito, we are putting all that we can to bring that diversity that BYU students and BYU staff needs.
Thank you so much, Diego, for sharing that, sharing your experiences, and also for all that you've already done here at BYU and for what you've given us as well. So we're really grateful to have you here until, you know, next semester when you leave, sadly. But again, thank you, Diego. We were so glad to have you here with us today.
Thank you.
All right, this has been another episode of Measuring Success Right. Have a wonderful week.
Make sure you subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud so you never miss an episode. Be a friend and tell a friend about Measuring Success Right.
This podcast is a project of the Marriott Student Review at Brigham Young University. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Marriott Student Review or online at marriottstudentreview.org.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect official policy or position of Brigham Young University or The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.